everybody, and welcome to What's on Your Mind. This is Scott Hannon, Todd Mitchell, Kevin Flynn, Leah Backstrom, Chris Larson, and Daniel answering the phones when you call us at 800-228-0550. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, a businessman with a great amount of success, much like Donald Trump, saying, I'm going to do this public service thing, runs for the U.S. Senate, and is there. He's a gutsy guy. He's a gutsy guy, and I think some of those fellow senators snicker at him a little bit, just sort of like they snicker at Donald Trump, but I love it. I love it. And he's got this Krebs fellow up there on a hearing today on the 2020 voting irregularities. Krebs was the guy that Trump fired because he said everything was great with the election. Nothing was wrong at all. And, we've unearthed one thing after another today. That is happening as we speak, so we'll keep an ear on it. Why don't you dip into it a little bit, see what Ron Johnson is saying. Opening statements just started. Let's just hear a little bit of what he has to say.
He was just kind of going through the evidence.
5% in 2020, and a lot of that had to do with the efforts of CISA and Chris Krebs. Recognizing that was a vulnerability in our system, not having that audit trail. So this is a significant improvement in providing a backup audit trail, but only if full or statistically valid recounts occur. Optical scanners, ballot marking machines, and tabulators should not be connected to the internet during voting. Though we found some do have the capability of being connected, and there are allegations that some were. Once voting ends, those machines print out a paper report and also transmit voting data in digital form in two separate data streams, from precinct to the county level and then the state level. The first data stream, this is the official stream, is sent to the official state election management systems, and the second unofficial stream is to the unofficial media reporting system through companies like Edison Research and the Associated Press. There is no uniform method of transmission. It is not fully automated, and thousands of human beings are involved in the process. So human error does occur. But that is what paper backups and post-election canvassing is designed to catch. Today we will hear testimony on how election laws in some cases were not enforced, and how fraudulent voting did occur, as it always does. The question that follows is whether the level of fraud would alter the outcome of the election. This year, in dozens of court cases, through the certification process in each state, and by the Electoral College vote, the conclusion has collectively been reached that it would not. However, lax enforcement, denying effective bipartisan observation of the complete election process, and failure to be fully transparent or conduct reasonable audits has led to heightened suspicion. The most difficult allegations to assess involve vulnerabilities in voting machines and the software used. In order to effectively determine the extent to which voting machines were subject to nefarious intrusion or other vulnerabilities, computer science experts must be given the opportunity to examine these allegations. This is a complex issue that has been under congressional scrutiny for years. Since 2018, I'm aware of three oversight letters requesting information from the main suppliers of voting machines. This oversight is focused on Election Systems and Software LLC, Dominion Voting Systems, Inc., and Hart InterCivic, Inc. Today we have a witness from the Election Assistance Commission, which certifies voting machines, to describe what has been done and what more can be done to address any vulnerabilities. On March 7, 2018, it was reported that Senators Klobuchar and Shaheen asked, quote, major vendors of U.S. voting equipment whether they had allowed Russian entities to scrutinize their software, saying the practice could allow Moscow to hack into American election infrastructure. Then last year, on March 26, 2019, Senators Klobuchar, Warner, Reid, and Ranking Member Peters wrote, quote, the integrity of our elections remain under serious threat. Our nation's intelligence agencies continue to raise the alarm that foreign adversaries are actively trying to undermine our system of democracy and will target the 2020 elections as they did in 2016 and 2018 elections. A combination of older legacy machines and newer systems, vulnerabilities in each present a problem for the security of our democracy, and they must be addressed. And then on December 6, 2019, Senators Warren, Klobuchar, Wyden, and Congressman Pocan wrote,
see, what are these? Quote, they're all Democrats.
Particularly concerned that
these are all Democrats.
Yep.
Go ahead and let them finish. I like this letter.
Yep.
Yeah, from a Democrat.
And responsible for manufacturing and maintaining voting machines and other election administration equipment, quote, have long skimped on security in favor of convenience, leaving voting systems across the country prone to security problems. Moreover, again, this is a quote from that letter. Moreover, when state and local officials work on replacing antiquated machines, many continue to run an old software that will soon be outdated and more vulnerable to hackers.
All right.
But not this time.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Yeah,
but this time.
This time we're not worried about it.
No, no.
We're not writing any letters, but other elections, we were worried about the machines.
Yeah.
One thing buried in what he said, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, seemed to sound like he's saying everything that's been done to this point would suggest that there's been not enough fraud to overturn the election. I don't think any of the evidence has been heard. I mean, again, in the Supreme Court, what they did, the Texas lawsuit that North Dakota and other states joined, the question was, okay, these states, four states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and what was the other state?
Wisconsin, you said? Georgia?
Georgia, thank you. So those four states didn't follow the Constitution. They changed the rules. They didn't do things right. And the court said, you don't have standing, Texas. That isn't saying your evidence is wrong. That's saying you're not in a position to bring this suit. So part of what I heard from Ron Johnson is a little Mitch McConnell-ish. And that is, you know, We need to worry about what people think about this. People need to be confident in the voting, but not necessarily that there is enough to overturn this election. I think there's enough to overturn this election.
I do, too.
Based on what we know. I mean, the signature match, how many ballots in Pennsylvania? 2 million?
I was reading Kurt Schlichter, you know, Curtis, war college guy, fills in for Hugh Hewitt now and then. He said the justice system is more about the system than the justice. And that's what Trump is battling here. He's battling the system. And the system isn't going to let it happen.
Yeah, and judges don't want to be that judge.
Yep.
They don't want to be that judge.
Yep.
They want to go to the parties. They want to get along with everybody. So, But I do agree with Ron Johnson that you got to get confidence in the system. And so hopefully they can do that today with some of these witnesses. And he is fearless. I love that about him. But I was a little disturbed to hear him. And supposedly, I don't know if this is true or not, we could ask Senator Kramer, Senator Hovind next time we have him on. Supposedly, Senator McConnell is saying, don't anybody object. Come January 6th, don't anybody object. Just keep your powder dry. Let's be done with this. Let's move on. I don't know whether or not that's true or not. Here's my question to you. Do you still have fight in your belly over this? Do you still have a sense in your gut, in your, you know, in the way you think about this, that, hey, this election has been stolen and we should fight with every tool available to us to get a right outcome? Or is it enough already? Enough already. You know?
A. I'll go with A.
A or B? What's your thought right now? I'd love to know.
This can't be allowed to stand. It cannot.
Yeah. I don't sense a lot of fight in the congressional delegation, in our congressional delegation. And again, North Dakota wasn't irregular. North Dakota was fine, everything we know about it, right? So I guess that's one argument, but I don't. Kelly Armstrong, for instance, he's very busy for the next several weeks. He's very busy. Maybe after Christmas. We'll let you know. Maybe that'll work out. You know, that's unusual. Normally it's, yeah, what works. Let's do it here. Let's do it there. Now, I also heard that Kelly read the entire Dominion audit report, so I'd love to know what his takeaway is from that, especially given the fact that's being a little bit disputed.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of the Democrat here, Senator Gary Peters from Michigan, who barely won. I mean barely won in Michigan by a sliver. So if you tell me there wasn't a little shenanigans there, what's he say about this happy deal here?
It's a mistrust and discontent to further their partisan desire for power.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Whether intended or not, this hearing gives a platform to conspiracy theories and lies. And it's a destructive exercise that has no place in the United States Senate.
What?
Joe Biden won the election more than 5 weeks ago with 306 electoral votes and received the most popular votes for a presidential candidate in American history.
Right. Really? This guy can't win another election, so he's probably gunning for a cabinet post with this suck-up fest that's going on here. But this is the point. They think the questions being asked of these officials about whether or not the election was as it was presented is destructive.
The Kool-Aid is strong this one.
You've got a U.S. to the bottom of it hearing saying, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's be sure. I mean, Ron Johnson said it. It's about the confidence in the electoral system, in knowing our elections are free and fair. Wowzer. All right, your calls when we come back.
We could turn this into a Christmas song.
This is a little known Christmas song that is kind of obscure. You might have found it on the Firestone albums. Do you remember those years ago, the Firestone albums, the Christmas music?
All right, fine. I'll stick with the Christmas.
And it morphs into this. So there you go.
Everybody's happy.
Oh, of course we're happy. Christmas.
I thought it was going to be like Seven Reindeer Army instead of Seven Nation Army.
Remember the reason for the season. Exactly right. Hey, our friends at MyPillow want to de-stress you for Christmas. And they can do it very easily. If you take the time sometime today to go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, you're going to find all the things I talk about, like my new bathrobe, 30% savings on a brand new product there, Giza Dream Sheets, buy one set, get the second set free, six-piece MyPillow towel set, buy one, get one free, and the all-time incredible deal, MyPillow premiums right now, $29.98. Best pillow, $29.98, $40 off. Never been a price like that on MyPillow premium pillows, ever. Now, if you see one in a big box store, you say, well, Scott, that one was $19.99. It's not a premium pillow. It's a different kind of pillow. It's not the one you want to sleep on for life and love. It's, you know, in the camper kind of thing. Gift cards available now, too. Best Christmas gifts ever. You want to let... You know the size, you know the colors you want. Go with the gift card. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott, or call 800-506-9028. 800-506-9028. All right? And by the way, Jim Deutsch won our 12 Days of Christmas contest, or a little contest we do on 970 WDAY and AM 1100 The Flag, leading up to Christmas, and we forgot to mention that earlier, but Jim Deutsch, we drew your name out of there. Way to go, fella! Way to go. More winners tomorrow. AM 550 K-Fire, KLTC and Dickinson and KTGO. Part of the fun today, too, on What's On Your Mind. Let's get to the phones. Go to Jamestown. Jamestown, North Dakota. Troy, what's on your mind?
Good morning. Thanks, gentlemen, for what you do. I haven't been able to find an answer to this. I don't know if I'm just not Googling it right. But how long is the vaccine for COVID effective? Because I got the disease back in October, and they said I was only immune for 90 days. But I can't seem to find how long after you get a, quote, vaccine that they're saying that it's effective for.
Yeah, I've not heard that either. We could add that to our list of issues. I have a vaccine note I brought in today, too, because at our church on Sunday, they had a little insert about bioethics. And there are questions about the impacts on fertility in women with the vaccine. And, you know, this is, again, not some conspiracy theory. This is real questions, real concerns that they haven't vetted out. I mean, they put it right on the list of potential concerns with the vaccine. So I would encourage anyone with, younger women in the family that, if you can imagine, if you take the vaccine and you lose the opportunity to bring young children into your family would be, it'd be a lot worse than the very slim chance that you're going to die from COVID-19. So anyway, check into that. I don't know the answer to your question, Troy. It's a good one. I've also heard, like, once you have it, how long you don't have it. And then, like you say, the vaccine, once you get it, how long is that effective? So good questions. We'll ask, okay?
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Troy. We got a little survey question out there. We'll continue through the whole program today. A or B? A, I've got the fire in the belly. I want to fight this right down to the last possible opportunity ahead of January 20th to make sure every legal vote was counted and every bum vote is discounted. That's fire in the belly. Or it's just time. It's time to give up. It's time to stop fighting. It's obvious what's going to happen. Just so, A, fire in the belly. B, time to throw in the towel.
I did a quick search on his question. They've just published today. Should we expect the pandemic to be over once the vaccine is available for public use? Not exactly. So a vaccine will not be perfect.
A bureaucrat,
right?
A bureaucrat wrote that.
But it said a vaccine will not be perfect, and it takes time for the immune system to be ready to protect us. Time will tell, basically, is what's...
Well, how long, though? How long is what he wants to know?
That'll be determined by vaccinated people and seeing how they respond.
So we're not going to know.
Right. We won't know.
We're going to be the trial.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Brian in Havana, you're next on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm been a Republican all my life. I'm 72 years old, but I'm changing parties as soon as I can. I'm tired of this. Goodbye.
All right, Brian. I can understand the frustration, sir. I think he's an A, and he's doing something about it. Jeff in Jamestown, A or B?
A B. And could we add Lawyers, Guns, and Money by Warren Zevon to the bumper music?
Good one.
Yeah.
Is that a Christmas song? Well, it'll have to wait. It'll have to wait till after Christmas. It didn't sound very Christmassy to me. But we'll have to let that one wait till after Christmas.
It fits today. Now, here's my trouble here. If I listen to you guys, right, every judge that has went against the way you want it is all bad and they're not to be trusted. Every judge, every Supreme Court guy. I think the legal system's doing its job. Do I like the way they... Answer, well, no, if it's not what I want, of course it's no good. But do you really want to keep casting doubt on the judge or the judicial system? This has grave, grave consequences. I think it needs to stop, because pretty quick we're going to be a banana republic if we're not there already.
Or what will we be under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris with their quest? I don't think that's exactly a picnic given what they want. So I don't take as lightly what will come. As you do, I understand where you're coming from on the judges, because that's a, you know, that is, I think the Constitution is not getting the due respect it needs. And I also say all these judges, when we say all these judges, all these cases, there's very few that saw actual evidence. The legislatures have saw evidence, but these judges in civil proceedings, they're supposed to say, okay, let's do some due diligence. Let's see the evidence. All right. The Supreme Court action on Texas wasn't evidence. Didn't say whether or not those states followed the Constitution or not. It said, you don't have standing. You can't bring this here. That's not rejecting the argument. But I respect your position. A or B for you, John, in, where are you, Roseau? Go ahead, John.
Russo, North Dakota, sir.
Oh, Russo. Okay, got it. What's on your mind?
Well, you know what? I think it's time that Trump just stepped back and said, you know what? This is what you got. This is what you wanted. I'll see you in 4 years, and then you'll see just what a good job I did for you. Because, you know, if they would have stopped it when it was going on, I think we would have had it. But because it's already done, I think he's got less chance of reversing things rather than just saying, you know what, this is what you want. I'll see you in 4 years.
Well, there are a lot of reports. In fact, Senator Cramer said on this program that one of his conversations since the election with President Trump included a promise if it doesn't go the way it should, that he would be a candidate in 2024. Those are things you say right after election, not necessarily 100% true, but I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it at all, and it'd be interesting to have him have the freedom, if you will, of being able to expose some of these things that have not come out before. So, interesting point. Thanks, John. I appreciate it a lot. All right. When we come back, Money Talk with Brian Kronk on the program from Collins and Kronk. We're going to dig into the market a little bit, as we always do, and talk about the fundamentals when it comes to wealth creation. How do you build wealth? Plus more of your calls on A and B, all to come on the show.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Who sings this?
It'd be Perry Como and the Fontana Sisters.
No kidding, huh?
Or the Fontaine Sisters, I guess.
Listening once again.
They're good. The Fontaine Sisters. And of course, Perry Como, Mr. Smooth, right?
It's beginning to
absolutely. Remember his show?
Oh, yeah.
The variety show? Yeah, I had Christmas shows.
They do shows like that anymore?
No.
Remember
really.
Andy Williams had a show?
Yep. Dean Martin?
Absolutely. Very good.
They do, I just don't watch them, probably.
That song brings me back to the Rockettes Christmas show with all of our fine listeners in New York City. Of course, we can't go to New York City this year.
Yeah.
Because it's...
tell us another story, Uncle Scott, about when we can do fun things.
We'll have a fine dinner at the... Yeah. I don't know what. Dumpster Cafe or something.
Yeah, I don't know,
I don't know where the heck we would dine out. There'd be that and so many other things, but... pretty sad to see, actually. Hey, it's time for Wednesday Wheels, brought to you by our friends at Buckler's Chevy Buick GMC in Bismarck in Valley City. Today at the Valley City store, sharp-looking SUV. Listen to that thing peel out. You know it's great. One of the most popular models on the road right now at a great price. This is the Buick Enclave Premium Edition. You do see a lot of those. This is a 2019, so like new, heated, cooled leather seats, navigation, backup cam, heated steering wheel, quad bucket seats, power tailgate, all-wheel drive. It's a one-owner local trade from the Valley City area. Pearl white frost color, gray leather interior. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They had me at heated leather seats here. And the heated steering wheel. Todd always raves about. Only 37,000 miles on this baby. It's on the lot right now at $37,995, but today only, $1,000 wasn't good enough to discount it. They did a little more. $36,406. How about that? $36,406. That's Steve. He's giving you a little Christmas present there. Don't waste a lot of time on this one, because if you think, I need to find out more, you need to call now. 800-401-4352. These vehicles always sell. If not today, tomorrow they go. 800-401-4352. Stop in 721 West Main, Valley City, or go online to PucklitchValleyCity.com. Find out more about Pucklitch, North Dakota's home for Chevy Bismarck II, Pucklitch Chevrolet. All right, we have Brian Kwok here. Is this the Money Man?
That's Money Talk music right there. That's
Money Talk music right there.
Right on.
Brian Kwok is going to tell us a little bit about wealth creation. And can I be the expert for 1 second?
You go for it, Scott.
You got to start. If you don't start, there never will be the wealth creation. It'll be, you know, one version or another of paycheck to paycheck. Of really saying, I'll do it later. I'll do it down the road. You got to start. Is that okay advice?
Boy, that is good. You're absolutely right. People often say, when is the best time to start? Right away. As soon as you have a bit of money, let's start putting that to work. And what is a bit of money? Anything. I don't care what it is. Start making that a habit in your life.
All right, so we're going to talk about that today. We're also going to talk a little bit about the market. Did you ever think you'd see 30,202.49 on the screen? You did.
Well, I did.
You predicted it even.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. Before we do that, I've got a bank of calls here that have been waiting for a while. I want to go through quick. We have an A or B question out today. Fire in the belly to keep up the fight on this election, or time to stand down and fight another day? A or B? That's the question. Sue and Mandan, what's your vote?
Absolutely A.
Absolutely.
But that caller before who said Trump should just stand down and say, well, the election's over, you got what you wanted. No, we did not get what we wanted. Millions of us voted for Trump and they stole it. So this is the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917. This is the demise of Venezuela. This is not just another election. This is a turnover to real communism.
All right. Thank you, Sue. Appreciate that. Just quick ABs, if you would, so we can get the counts here, but I appreciate it. Then we'll get back to more of this conversation after we're done with Money Talk today. James and Cavalier, what's your vote?
I think it should be the swamp is won. I'd say B. He comes back and fights like MacArthur, and he can take back the country like MacArthur took back the Philippines.
All right. I like it. Leroy Cyrus, Minnesota. So he's not – he's sort of doing a little of both almost. I'll have to put a half a mark on each A and B. Leroy and Cyrus, go ahead.
Definitely A.
Definitely A. I like the confidence. Leroy, I like the confidence. Way to do it. How about Richard in Jamestown? What's your vote? Are you there, Richard? Richard, we're talking to you.
All right. Hello.
A or B, Richard?
A. Definitely A.
Definitely A. Don't you love the confidence of people?
Yes.
I love it.
I love it. It's not just, put me down for A. It's definitely A.
Yeah.
All right, Richard, thank you very much. And more of your votes and a few more of your comments when we come up. In all seriousness, Brian, it's a time unlike I've experienced in 56 years on this earth, politically speaking.
It's crazy.
And, first of all, Donald Trump being elected at all was, momentous. Not of government, not of politics, never run for anything before, and then all the things that were tried against him, and now the effort on the election. What impact do you see that having on the market?
It is amazing to watch the resiliency of the market. It's actually doing fine in spite of all this commotion. And, about a month before the election, I started noticing a shift. We were seeing money move out of some of those Trump economy stocks more into some of the, what we'll call the Biden economy stocks or the traditional swamp economy stocks. And you could just see that in just how money was moving into some of more of the green energy, solar, wind, some of those kinds of things. There's a lot of rotation happening beneath the surface, but what's amazing is Wall Street or even just investors in general haven't thrown in the towel and say, hey, this is the end of the world. From an investing standpoint, they're actually still pushing stocks higher. They're still buying stocks. We still have great companies with earnings. It's just different companies. I think it'll be important to watch as all these regulations that Trump removed come back on to a lot of these companies. That's going to put a burden on them. And so you're going to start to see that squeeze on earnings and things like that. So let's see what happens 6 months down the road, a year down the road. But so far, things are still looking pretty good.
And you think if, for instance, a few courts got involved here, the processing the Electoral College on January 6th says, I object, and, the evidence is debated, and we say, well, Biden didn't win, and you have the establishment sort of upended, does that scare the market?
I hate making predictions like that, but I think that does scare the market. The market hates anything that is out of the blue or out of left field or just unexpected. And so when you start thinking about that, that would be really a surprise. That would be unexpected. And that's not what Wall Street has been lining up behind. So I have to kind of look at where's the big money. The big money started moving toward a Joe Biden presidency and that type of an economy well before the election. And so if all of a sudden they saw a chink in that plan, so to speak, and now something's thrown out or there's uncertainty there, guess what? They've got to start unwinding that, and that's the kind of thing that could easily spin the market into some sort of a tailspin.
Interesting. All right, so let's talk a little bit about wealth creation. And folks, I want you to maybe, in a way you haven't ever before, try to lean into this conversation a little bit and just think about your future. Because I did this, I poured every cent that I had, 401ks and everything else, my wife and I both did, into the radio business. It was to buy a radio station and to get this started because we believe strongly in, what we put on the radio and we wanted to get that out there, right? So we put our whole life into that. But there comes a point where, okay, now the radio stations are doing good and things are kind of plugging along, but you go, you have no nest egg, you have no retirement, you have no plan. And so I go to, Brian one day, just kind of a little sheepishly and say, hey, I haven't done this very well. And he says, you're like a lot of entrepreneurs, but let's start now and let's go. And the comfort that you get from that, the peace that you get from that, the motivation to get behind the strategy is really amazing. And, if you feel like I'm not real well versed in it or whatever, they take care of all that. You don't have to be. So really encourage you to do that. And so today we're going to go back to the fundamentals a little bit and talk about wealth creation. You're going to take us to class today, aren't you?
Right on. This is a remedial investment class.
Yes. What is a stock, Mr. Teacher? What is a stock?
Well, and that's just it. And you say we're going to create wealth. That is the key. So how do we do that? And really, a stock, what is that? You hear us talk about that all the time, and everybody just makes assumptions. But a stock is literally you have ownership in a company that's out there, a publicly traded company. And the key to creating wealth and growing wealth is all about ownership. I want you to own things. So if you don't own a radio station, maybe we can own a piece of a company that owns radio stations or something like that. So a stock is ownership in these various corporations, and ownership equals growth. I always talk about that versus, say, loanership. So when we think about loanership, what is a bond is sort of that next question. You always hear about stocks and bonds, and they get sort of lumped together. But a bond is the opposite of a stock. A bond is loanership. We're lending our money to a corporation or to the U.S. government or some sort of entity, and they promise to pay that back. So I always use the example, if you're the little old lady who comes into my office and you've got $5 million in your purse and you say, hey, Sonny, I just don't want to lose this money. Well, guess what? That's easy. We're going to lend that money to somebody we trust, like, well, I don't know if we trust the U.S. government, but, you know, somebody like that, whether it's a Treasury bond or a North Dakota bond or something like that, they're going to pay us interest. And when it's all said and done, they're going to give us our principal back.
But I'm not going to earn a lot of money on that money.
Correct. That bond is going to pay you. Generally, historically, a bond pays you enough interest just to keep pace with inflation. So if we just took her purse and hid it in the corner and gave it back to her in 20 years, guess what? She still has $5 million $1 bills in there, but she can't buy what she used to. Hopefully, if we've put that into bonds, that's at least kept her purchasing power the same. But she hasn't grown it at all. For growth, we need ownership. Ownership in a radio station, ownership in, you know, TJ Maxx or something.
How do you decide whether radio or TJ Maxx is the way to go?
Well, and that's where we come in. So at Collins & Kronk, we spend an awful lot of time doing research. You need to have a professional. We are professional portfolio managers. That's what we do. So we spend our time doing research, building portfolios on behalf of our clients, and then we put in the highest quality stocks. So that's what we're looking for. If you're going to own companies and the world is at your disposal, you want to own the very best companies that are available to you. And so we spend an awful lot of time trying to figure out who is the best company in every category, and then we build portfolios like that and manage them for our clients.
Brian Kronk of Collins & Kronk with us today on What's on Your Mind. When we come back, we're going to continue at school and talk a little about the mutual funds. Also want to talk a little bit about the market and where we're sitting right now as well. So all that continuing. If you have a question or comment, by the way, you can text us 701-367-2054. Lots of folks texting in their questions or comments as well today on the program. And A or B votes, so you can do that too. 701-367-2054. Brought to you in part by our friends at PetroServe USA. I'm just looking at today's menu, and I'm getting a little hungry. You will too, because today, Wednesday, Swedish meatballs or lasagna on special at Valley City. Home cooking, grab-and-go convenience. Swedish meatballs at West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Cheesy bacon scallop potatoes if you want to run up to 12th Avenue North. Oh, does that sound good, huh? Cheesy bacon scallop potatoes, 12th Avenue, 929 in Yulin. It's lasagna today at PetroServe USA. More coming up.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own.
Takes a while to get to that that particular point, but it's worth the wait, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. We're back on What's on Your Mind. Money Talk, the money man. Brian Kronk is here from Collins & Kronk. How do folks reach you, by the way, before we get too far into things? We should probably tell folks if they want to learn more about all of this, where they can chit-chat with you, Brian, and Jeff, and the team at Collins & Kronk.
Yes, you can always reach our team. We're at 235-0119. That's area code 701-235-0119. We're right in downtown Fargo.
And, you know, the one thing that really helps these guys stand out is they're money managers. They are the money managers. That's what they're doing. That's what they're trained to do. That's what their expertise is. Brian, I don't know how many different groups you speak in front of every year. Major, major funds.
Right.
You know, taking care of the teachers, taking care of the law enforcement folks, just making sure that their retirements are sound. So your expertise is called on a lot, and this is an opportunity for all of us to have that as well.
Absolutely. I've been, you know, predecessor firms and so forth. I've been managing money and trained to do institutional portfolio management for over 25 years now.
So this is, I mean, the bulk of the clients at Collins & Kronk are creating private fund or portfolio you know, packages and managing it for them, and that's what they do. I promised to do a little 101 since we were going to class on stocks and bonds. Mutual fund. You always hear about mutual funds. Everybody's got a favorite. What about mutual funds? What is it?
Yeah, I know that's a good question, too. It comes up a lot. So we're talking about growth by ownership or owning equities or what the difference is between a stock or a bond. And then you hear that mutual fund word get thrown out there a few times. And I always say, you know, before we just define it, you know, let's back up and talk about risk just a little bit. So I said, what kind of stocks do you want to own? You want to own the highest quality companies you can find. And we've got very special ways that we define that. And I'm glad to talk to people about that. But what if you can only buy one company? Well, how much money do you have to invest? Guess what? If you just buy one company and you got that wrong, you've got a lot of risk in that one company. We want you to have several companies. We want you to be diversified. And so when you think about risk, one of the biggest risks that people will make is they put all their eggs in one basket. And so diversification allows a way around that. We should have a portfolio. And when we design portfolios for our clients, we've got several stocks. We might have 20 or 25 various companies from different sectors of the economy in there. So if somebody can't afford or doesn't have enough money to put, you know, a complete diversified portfolio, that's where mutual funds come in. So years ago, there was none of these private portfolios or things like this. Either you had enough money to put a stock portfolio together or you didn't. And so finally a company, MFS out of Massachusetts, came out and designed this thing where you and I and our neighbor could all pool our money together. If each of us could only afford one stock, if we all pooled it together, guess what? Now we can buy several stocks. We can now have a diversified portfolio. And so that's exactly what a mutual fund is. It's mutual. It's all of us pooling our money together so that we can buy a basket or a whole, you know, array of stocks, or sometimes it's bonds. And so when you look at a mutual fund, that's what it is. It's a way for us to diversify that risk by all pooling our money together and having one giant basket of stocks together.
Wow. How would you know which one to invest in?
Well, and that's a good question. There is as many different mutual funds out there as there are stocks. So again, we spend a lot of time researching who are the good mutual fund managers, who are the good companies. And so we put that together for our clients. So we've got clients who come in where maybe a stock portfolio that we manage isn't appropriate for them, or they need even further diversification. So we spend time building mutual fund portfolios. And so we'll go out and recommend what specific fund to be in. And then more importantly, a lot of people will buy a fund and then they just kind of forget about it. They might have actually gotten some good advice and gotten into a good fund, but guess what? Things change. Mutual fund manager might leave and go to another company, or maybe they retire. The economy changes and value that was in style isn't in style anymore. Now we're in a growth economy. And so we monitor that stuff for our clients. And when it's time to make a change, we'll help them make that change into the new and more appropriate fund.
I want to ask you a little bit about the market here as well today. Watching it sit at 30,175 here. Oil at 50, you're just under 50. Brent and WTI, man, although you predicted it, right? I mean, you saw this, and you've also made a career out of doing just exactly that. So is this just the kind of trajectory we're on? Wait for 40 now? That's next or what?
Yeah, and that's one of those things. The people back, you know, this is a while ago, I had said, we're going to see, you know, Dow 30,000. I even said at that time, we're going to see Dow 40,000, not too long afterwards. And I'd say right now, we're going to probably see that within the next 5 years, Dow 40,000, probably sooner than that even. And how can that be? Well, if you just look at the normal trajectory, so you called it right, Scott, and say, what are we looking at? The market tends to just grow at a consistent pace. We have ebbs and flows, but I always say, if you could sit at a blackjack table and you knew that you were going to win 2 out of every 3 hands, would you ever leave that table? And that's sort of the trajectory that we have in the market. You can sit there, and if you can weather the storms and you know what's going on, most of the time you're going to see this upward trajectory. The problem is sometimes it goes down, and you got to be ready to handle that.
That's why you need a pro. And they do make all of this simple and easy for clients. They're taking care of all of this. What's the right decision? What's the way to go? Have a plan, right?
Absolutely. You need a plan and a strategy that works.
RaymondJames.com/Collins and Kronk. One way to reach them, and encourage you to do that. Do a little research on your own. Do good work. 701-235-0119.